How did John end this letter of 1 John? He ended it by showing a contrast yet again between the children of God and the children of the devil, showing that we do not have both. We are either with one or we're with the other. We're either with God or we're with the devil. He stated with confidence that Christians are in Jesus Christ. Then he ended with a warning. Let's begin now by looking at verses 18 and 19 of 1 John chapter 5, where he's going to show us that the wicked one does not touch us. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The way John is once again wording things here reminds me of the fact that while he is often known by us as the apostle of love, he is also the apostle of knowledge. He wrote 1 John stating repeatedly, I have written these things that you might know something. There are some things we can and indeed need to know. That doesn't open the door for arrogance, but it does open the door for letting us live in knowledge, not in doubt and fear. We know, John said, that whoever is born of God does not sin. John has already said that. If you go back to chapter 3, you'll observe verse 6 and then verse 9. There he wrote, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Then you skip down to verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Well, taking both of those passages together, John is showing us that as long as the Word is in us, we do not keep on living. We do not live a life of sin. John also explained his meaning back here in chapter 5, verse 18. The one who does not sin is the one who has been born of God and keeps himself and does not let the wicked one touch him. He who has been born of God keeps himself. God gives us new life. Many people in the church can be convinced on a certain point of doctrine, maybe baptism or something like that. And sometimes that's all they know, for they have not truly been converted to Christ, and so there's not a whole life change. Well, they can argue successfully on various points, but when it comes down to living that whole life of faith in Jesus, that is missing. In order to be born of God, here is what must happen. And I think when you see this, you will understand how it is that he is born of God does not sin. In 1 John 3, 9, which I already read, John said that the one having God's seed in him does not continue in sin. But then in chapter 4, verse 7, it's loving one another. There he said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now why that is crucial is because if I love, That not only shows that I'm born of God, but love keeps me from sinning. If I can just concentrate on keeping the two greatest commands, according to Jesus, loving God and loving my neighbor, I won't sin, or I, again, won't live a life of sin. And then in chapter 5, where we are now, verse 1, being born of God means to believe in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. And then in verse 4, He spoke about having faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now at the same time, we keep ourselves. See, God puts some of the burden upon us. We cannot expect an overwhelming divine power to suddenly come into our lives and to control us, preventing us from sinning, especially against our will. We must be the ones to make the decision and to act upon the decision that we are not going to sin. We must stop sinning because we want to stop sinning. Not because something else from outside of us, or even something that's entered us, suddenly controls us and prevents us from sinning. That's not what God wants. He wants me to keep from sin because I want to keep from sin. Especially as I show my love toward Him and toward my brethren. Again, John continued that he who has been born of God and keeps himself cannot be touched by the wicked one. Now, when John said that, don't draw the conclusion that that means nothing bad will ever happen to you. I mean, look at Job. What an example we have in the Scriptures. Job had world-conquering faith. Nevertheless, the devil still attacked Job. However, the devil did not win Job over. But Job maintained his faith in God regardless of the severe persecutions against him. And then we can, of course, look at Jesus. I mean, He suffered the ultimate. However, like Job, He also remained true to God. And then we have John 10. Lake just read verses 27 and 28. Where Jesus assures us that, we're His sheep, we know Him, and He knows us. And then in verse 29, where Lake left off, Jesus said, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one," that includes the devil, "is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Man, that's security. I don't have to worry as a Christian. As long as I continue to follow my Lord, I am safe in His hands. No one, nothing is going to take me from Jesus. Now, there's going to be some great attempts to take me from Him. There's no doubt about that. But they will not be successful. John said back in 1 John 5, "We know that we are of God." Now, John has presented this kind of evidence before. He presented clearly how it is that we can know with all certainty that we are of God. So, brethren, live your life confidently in the knowledge that you are of God. Be prepared. For there will be people who will tell you that you cannot have that kind of confidence and knowledge. John also said, "We also know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." You are either in the church and with God, or in the world under Satan's rule. The world, he said, is under Satan in that the world lives wickedness and thinks wickedly. The world is completely in the control of the devil, but he does not have control of the Christian. Let's move now into verse 20. The Son of God has given us an understanding. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We can be confident. Why is it that we can be so confident? Because John says, the Son of God has come and has given us this understanding. It's not because we're great in knowledge. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Him. That's what John said. Why do we have knowledge? Why do we have understanding? It's because the Son of God left heaven, came down here and lived, and for 3.5 years conducted a ministry that has absolutely changed the entire world. And He was giving us knowledge and understanding that says, I can know that I'm of God. If you're of God, it's because you understand the things of God. In 1980, shortly after I had started, Brother Steve and I attended a debate in Denton, Texas, with Brother Tossie Warren and Bo Barnhart, who he later revealed in the debate had at one time been a member of the church and had even attended one of our colleges. And I think that was the first time that I had ever heard anyone in or out of the church deny that Jesus Christ had ever lived. See, in the past, it's always been that, you know, there were skeptics and, you know, and people who were against the church or whatever, but they acknowledged that at one time, yes, there was this man, this teacher and prophet who existed. His name was Jesus Christ, and he did teach some good things and so on, but we just don't think he was from heaven or something along those lines. But Joe Barnhart actually affirmed the guy never existed. And I've noticed that since that time, it has snowballed. There have been more and more people, scholars and college professors and other writers and stuff, who have actually come out publicly and said, he never existed. He's not even a real character. And sometimes even Christians will say, well, I don't know that we can really be sure that Jesus ever existed. I don't know that we can really prove that he existed, but in my own heart, I believe that he did. As though it's just a subjective thing that I feel in my heart. No, I like the way John is writing our verse here. And if you're on that point where you're not quite sure, I'd encourage you to continue to read and to meditate in the Scriptures. And if you continue to do that, you'll eventually get to the point where you'll say, okay, it's not just a feeling anymore. I understand. This objective standard here reveals the clear evidence that there really was a man who walked this earth who was from the city of Nazareth. He was a carpenter, but he was much more than that. He's a Son of God. And he really did come and do wonderful works and teach wonderful things. And the Jews crucified him, and he was buried, and he ascended back up into heaven. And I believe those things because I know that they're true. So you don't have to live in confusion. As I've gone through this series of sermons on the letter of 1 John, I hope that you have seen how certain, how sure John is. He's never confused about anything. Have you observed that? He always comes across with, we know this. We know that. Don't be confused. Man, live with confidence and boldness in Jesus Christ. We have this understanding that we may know Him who is true. We know the way things truly are. And John said, we do not only know the truth, but we know Him who is true. So it's not just a certain set of propositions that we know to be the truth. We know the One from whom all truth emanates. And that's Jesus Christ, of course. We have this understanding that we may know that we are in Him as true. I know the truth. I know Him who is true, and then on top of all that, I know that I'm in Him. We understand because we know that He is the truth. John said, "This is the true God and eternal life." However, as our society continues on, Christianity, at least in our nation, is not going to always be the one prominent religion. I mean, that's changing now. It's changing quickly. The New Age movement, Hinduism, I can go on and on. Islam, all these things are going to be growing and becoming more and more aggressive in our country. And we need to be prepared to defend what we believe to be the truth in the Scriptures. Now, logically progressing from the fact that this is the true God, John said, and this is eternal life. If there is a God, there is eternal life. And if He created us, He intended that we have that eternal life. They all go together. But the question is it found only in Yahweh God of the Bible? Is it found only through His Son, Jesus Christ? Can we answer those, or can we defend those propositions? Okay, now let's read the last two sentences of the first letter of John. 1 John 5:21, where He teaches us to guard ourselves from idols. He said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. Keep yourselves from idols, because falling into idolatry is a quick way to lose everything that we have gained by looking at 1 John. If you've read 1 John and you believe what it says and you've embraced it, so that now your life is different than it was before, and then you turn to an idol, everything's been lost. It's all gone. I like the way John ends this first letter, because he does what he has been doing constantly throughout the letter, making contrasts. We have had light and darkness, truth and falsehood, love and hate, God and the world, Christ and the Antichrist, life and death, the children of God and the children of the devil, and now God and idols. Think about the verses that we just looked at. From 18 to 20, what was he talking about? God. There is God. He is the true God, and Jesus Christ is His Son. So guard yourselves from idols, because if you do that, it'll quickly deny all that truth. Idolatry is insulting to God. God is so grand, and idolatry is so mundane. And yet it's popular. The people would take a piece of wood and carve it into an image that looks like a creature of some sort, or a creator, they might say. And suddenly they think that that thing either itself or represents that which has created all things, or maybe just a part of creation or something. What an insult to the true God who dwells in light unapproachable. I can see why God, under the Old Testament, as we noticed in my class this morning, why He punished Israel, especially when they would commit idolatry. He was both hurt and offended by what they did. Brethren, beware of the gods of this age. For a god does not have to be a statue before which we fall down and worship. In fact, in October, I plan on giving a sermon here called "The Gods of This Age." And not one of them will be about an image that's been erected in our American society that people fall down before. But I'll give you about six or seven things I believe are gods that we've created. 1 John has presented some powerful messages to us. Now, let us go and do them. We may all agree with what John has said. But do you remember when that lawyer confronted Jesus and said, you know, teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, how do you read the law? What does it say? And he quoted back to him that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, this do and you shall live. Then he said, but who is my neighbor? And that's when Jesus presented the parable of the Good Samaritan. And when he finally got this lawyer to understand who our neighbor is, Jesus again said, you know, do it. Love your neighbor. And of course, that's what John has been saying here, is to love our neighbor as well as some other things. That's not been the only thing, but that's been probably his primary message. I'd like to ask you then, do you need help implementing the teachings of 1 John? If you want our help, brother or sister, that's why we're here. We're here to serve one another. Can we serve you? If so, come forward right now as we stand and sing.